Praise the Lord. Well, what a blessing. What a blessing. I hope and pray that God has been good to you today. And I know that He has. Amen and amen. So let's go ahead and take our Bibles now. I want to bring a thought to you this evening. Again, I want to go to part two of a sermon titled, Heaven, Something to Look Forward to. Heaven is something to look forward to. And so what a blessing that is today, just to know that we have a place that we are looking forward to today. And we're thankful for that here this evening. I know for me, I tell you what, I'm just, I'm blessed beyond belief. And we need to understand that, that as we look toward what the Lord has given us and what He's done for each and every one of us and how He has blessed us, guys, we need to remember here this evening that God has greatly, greatly blessed us. And He has not only blessed us on this earth, but guys, we have a place on the other side of glory tonight that should the rapture happen right now at the church. You know, should that be what happens, which I would welcome in a heartbeat. There's a place beyond this world.
Right.
There's a place beyond these days. That no matter how much joy and excitement, no matter what you have here that is exciting today, I'm going to go ahead and tell you that God has something better for you. And we want to remember that today. We want to remember what the Lord has done. And so that's where we are today. Again, I'm thankful for who and what the Lord is. So I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles up to Revelation chapter 21. And we're going to get back to where we were today. We're going to get back to where we left off this morning. Revelation chapter 21, the Bible says, verse 11, as we read for our reading, says, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Father in heaven, we thank you, dear Lord, for all that you have done, for who and what you are. We pray now for your continual blessing. We pray for your guidance. Pray for your direction. We ask of you, Father, please, give us what we need this evening. Lord, we're looking for that glimpse, Father, into the glorious house of where we will be living one day. And Father, we just want to touch from heaven tonight to hear from your precious word. And we just ask you now to please continue to guide us and direct us, Father. We love you, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. What a blessing that is. And I don't know about you, but I am very thankful tonight that the Lord has given us a place known as heaven. And I'm looking forward to going back. I just had a thought here, just kind of get into the system a little bit and make sure that we are on target. Amen. So, all right. So let's open up our Bibles here this evening and let's get into the Word of God. And Revelation 21, verse 11, again, as we heard this morning, my friend, that the new heaven and the new earth is there, and beloved, the world in which lies before us is incomparable to anything that we've ever seen. And then, you know, very little is detailed. Again, I said this morning about heaven. I mean, there's more in the Bible about hell than there is heaven. But we do find in Revelation 21, we find that eternity is beginning to be detailed out, that it's beginning to be laid out in before us. And this presentation of the Holy Jerusalem, known as the New Jerusalem, the three things that are new there, it's a place that has no sewer, no landfill, no politicians, no politics, no COVID-19, amen, no traffic lights, no lockdown, no snowflakes, no terrorists, no heartaches, no pain, no sickness. And praise God, we even heard of this. There's no crying there, amen. We're looking forward to living in a place like that. We're looking forward to living in a time like that. We're looking forward to what the Lord has prepared for us beyond this life. My friend, there's no heartache, and what a blessing that is. And when you're a father or you're a mother and you have children and you're concerned about them and you're worried about them, there's heartache. Even when there's not supposed to be heartache, there with heartache, just wondering how your children are doing. When you got moms and dads out there, you wonder how they're doing, and you hope that they're doing well. And you see them get up in years, and maybe they get sick, and things like that. There's heartache in this life. But over there, my friend, in that New Jerusalem, there is no more heartache. There is no more pain. There is no sin, praise God. There's more that we can learn about the New Jerusalem. Not only do we understand that it's new, not only do we understand that it's the next part of our life after this, not only did we see this morning that it's quite nice, to be honest with you. But beloved, I want you to understand something about this New Jerusalem we're going to look at here real quick. Is, number one, it is dynamic, my friend. It is dynamic. And what I mean by that, again, we find carbon, the chief constituent of all living, to be part of this city. The majority of it. And guys, listen, meaning this city is a living entity. It's a living city. Look at verse 12 with me of Revelation chapter 21. For the Bible says, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And on the east 3 gates, and on the north 3 gates, and on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. Verse 14 says, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Beloved, the gates are named after the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. All right? And the foundation of the wall are linked directly and named after the 12 apostles. And we'll see that here a little later on. But I believe there's one thing that you can take out of that aspect. That there's 12 foundations, meaning there's only 12 apostles. And by that, that's another evidence that there is no such thing as apostolic succession. There has never been an apostle alive after John died on the either when he came off the Isle of Patmos or when he died on the Isle of Patmos. We really don't know. Most believe that he came and lived a few years into the second century. I kind of tend to believe that. But once John died, my friend, once John died, there was no more apostles that ever walked the face of this planet. You need to understand that. It is a dynamic city. It is a city that is living. It's made of that carbon, that jasper that we find, that chief constituent of all living things. But I want you to look here with me tonight. I want you to look at the design of this city, the design. Let's look in verse 15 through 17. And the Bible says, and he talked with me, and he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. And the city lieth four square, and the length is it. The length is as large as the breadth, and he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. Notice that they're looking at verse 17. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits according to the measure of man, that is, of the angel. There's further evidence of what an angel really is. Amen. We understand that. Beloved, I want you to understand that the city we find is 12,000 furlongs equal in all directions. In other words, you could say 12,000 furlongs cubed, okay? That is 1,500 by 1,500 by 1,500 miles, guys. 1 mile equals 5,280 feet, and you could say 5,280 feet cubed times 1,500, which is 200,000 feet that you find. This design is not only beautiful, but it is massive. But look at verses 18 through 20 with me. And the Bible says, and the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, and like under clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, and the sixth sardius, and the seventh crystallite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, and the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. Amen. Listen, the list of these foundations, some have proclaimed that each one of them are linked to a tribe of Israel, but we already know that the foundations of the city is built upon the 12 apostles. And so you find these 12 layers of stones that are laid there, guys, this jasper and sapphire, and all of these precious stones. These are just the foundations that are built up on this wall from this city. I mean, in all honesty, guys, one can barely fathom what God's city looks like. We can create it in our mind as best as we can. But I don't believe, listen, I don't believe that we can truly know what type of a spectacle it will be. It's no wonder why Paul said, "For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better." He knew it was far better for his disciples, or for the disciples of Christ. He knew it was far better for the churches and for the people and for getting the gospel into the world. But my friend, I mean, Paul, after he was called up into the third heaven, he recorded in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 4, and he said, "It is not expedient for me to doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, whether out of the body I cannot tell. God know it." He said, such a one called up to the third heaven, and I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God know it. How that he was called up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter." My friend, it should come to no surprise whatsoever why Paul said that I'm in a strait betwixt two. It should be no surprise whatsoever why Paul lived all out for God. He was 100 miles an hour. Hang on. Now we can understand how Paul says, "We are confident, I say, and rather willing, the absent from the body is to be present, and be present with the Lord." Beloved, listen, the Apostle Paul walked into a sight that he had never seen before, that no one had seen before, one that is believed to be the new, the next, and the nice, and yes, the dynamic, the place of a perfect design, the new Jerusalem. He saw that thing, my friend. No wonder he says, "I'm in the strait betwixt two." No wonder he says, "Hey, listen, these are unspeakable words." My friend, I do want you to understand here tonight, just a sidebar. Someone tells you that they died and they went to heaven, they come back and they begin to tell you what it looked like, they are lying. I don't care how many books or movies or radio programs they want to produce, they're lying. Because the man of God, the Apostle Paul, said that it is unlawful, that unspeakable words that which he saw, which is not lawful for a man to utter. I tell you, that's the sidebar part of it. But my friend, we can surely understand tonight. We can surely understand tonight why Paul lived in the way he did. Matter of fact, I was reading a certain preacher on this particular topic, and he said he felt like Paul had he was a suicidal maniac, and he was saying that in a little bit of jest. But he lived 100%, 100 miles an hour out for God, because he knew what was on the other side. Reckless abandon, as I had one coach say one time. That's the way Paul lived. Hey, it was at the place that is dynamic, my friend, with a perfect design. Something of just unfathomable beauty tonight. Yeah. And that's your home if you're a child of God. If you are born again in the blood of Christ tonight, that's the place that you get to go. You're not living in a stone house. You're not living in a bricks and mortar. You're not living in a stick frame home when you get up there. No, sir. You're living in a place that's built out of gold, whose walls are on the 12 foundations of every precious stone, whose gates are beautiful, whose names of the apostles are on the foundations of the wall, whose names of the 12 tribes of Israel are on the 12 gates around there. A place made of pure gold, pure with the water of life flowing freely. Amen. I mean, my soul, think about what you have to look forward to tonight. Amen. You may be in this world struggling. You may be in this world hurting. You may be in this world tired and weary and sick. I'm here to encourage you tonight that if you will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you know Him not, no matter how bad, no matter how dreary, no matter how dark, no matter how depressed it is in this world, there's a heaven on the other side of glory, and it is something for you to look forward to in this life. It's been once said by many, many preachers that if you're a child of God, this is the only hell that you will ever know. But if you're a child of the devil, and there's no in-between, if you're unsaved, if you are not born again of the blood of Christ tonight, this is the only heaven you'll ever know. Now, can you imagine with me a world filled with sickness, pain, heartache, depression, darkness, death, that being the only heaven you'll ever know? This life is but a glimpse. It's just a grain of sand compared to what God has ready for us on the other side. Right. Something to look forward to, my friend. Verse 21, if you will, in Revelation chapter 21, the Bible tells me, the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was on one, was of one pearl. And the city of the street was pure gold, as in the transparent glass. Up there, guys, you're going to be walking on pure gold. Think about that for a second. The signs of the gates, they're not given. But the walls are anywhere from 264 feet to 300 feet high. And now the gates are like a pearl, which means they're circular in formation. Even if the gates were big enough for a man to go through, that means they are 7 foot in equal diameter. Massive gates. Beloved, there certainly is something to look forward to. Heaven is a place which is new. Heaven is a place which can be next. Heaven is a place which is nice. And yes, it's dynamic. It's a dynamic living place, a perfect design. But as we look forward into the Scripture, we must remember where we are today and where others are now. So there are some details that we need to look at according to what comes after this. Look at verses 22 and 24. The Bible says, "And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it." And we've already covered that verse. "And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it." Now look at verse 24 again. It says, "And the nations of them which are saved." My friend, the nation, now I told you about this morning, the three branches of human beings, the Jew, the Gentile, and the Church of God, are still the same branches that are in eternity. But these nations that it's referring here are the nations which are saved in the tribulation and the millennial kingdom. Now, they do not have eternal life. In the tribulation period, they can lose their life. In the millennial kingdom, people can lose their life. And that's a message for another time here today. They don't have eternal life. They keep dying. This is not referring to the tribulation saints who were martyred for refusing to take the mark of the beast. And those that are martyred during the tribulation are only those in this world today who had not the opportunity to be saved during the church age. Those tribulational saints who had not the opportunity to be saved in the church age, who by the skin of their teeth get saved, but have to lose their life in order to have that salvation, they are raptured up, if you will, with the two witnesses, which is Moses and Elijah. Now here's where people will kick back a little bit. You say, "Well, hang on a second. We got the judgment seat of Christ." Yes, the judgment seat of Christ is for the child of God. Alright? Judgment seat of Christ is for the bride of Christ. So now we're looking at another judgment seat somewhere along the line for these tribulation and these millennial saints, if you will. This is, again, we're not referring to the tribulational saints. So go ahead and scratch that out. We're talking about those who make it through the tribulation and those who make it through the millennial kingdom. It's at the great white throne judgment. You say, "Hang on, preacher, I've always been told that's only for the lost." No, it's not. Read your Bible, okay? Great White Throne Judgment, these are those whose names are found in the Book of Life at the Great White Throne Judgment. Alright? Now again, the Great White Throne, this is who's found. This is at the end of the Millennial Kingdom, right? At the end of time, when time begins to come no more, you have in Revelation 20, you see those who are not found written in the Book of Life are cast in the lake of fire. But if they're not found in the Book of Life, there are some that are found in the Book of Life. Alright? And you say, "How do we know that?" I want you to pay attention here. Those at the great white throne, at the end of time, those who had made it scarcely through the tribulation period, and those again are the ones who had not an opportunity to be saved in the church age, and they made it through for whatever particular reason. I may touch on it later on, I will, but we know that there are a group of Gentiles that helped the Israelites escape the Antichrist, and they don't even know what they're doing. Matthew 25, we see that. "When do we see you hungry and give you food? When do we see you thirsty?" And Jesus said, "If you've done it to the least of these, my brethren," that's the nation of Israel, "you've done it to me," he says, "enter into your rest." So there's a group of Gentiles that by somehow help Israel spare the Antichrist, or escape the Antichrist. And therefore they go into the tribulation and then they go to the millennial kingdom and they make it through that millennial kingdom. So those at this great white throne judgment are those whose names are found in the Book of Life, and thus they are given the right to the tree of life. Alright? Revelation chapter 18, read with me very clearly. "And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, And the time of the dead that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants the prophet, and to the saints, and to them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. Now, let me ask you this question. When are the nations angry? They're angry at the end of the millennium. Read Ezekiel chapter 4. Alright? Then you have the battle of Gog, and then you got the battle of Gog and Magog. One is the battle of Armageddon, which is the tribulation period, and the other one is the battle of when the nations are angry, which is the end of the millennial kingdom. After Satan is turned loose for a little season, go forward to see. The same time when the Lord's wrath is to come, and when the dead are judged. You cross-reference that with Revelation 20. We'll turn over there real quick. Just turn over one page. Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, the Bible says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books were opened, and another book were opened." Let me ask you a question. If the book of life is the only thing that determines their fate, why are there other books that are open? Those are books of works. The level of their torment is determined according to the book of their works. Keep reading. "And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things written in the books," plural, "according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in them. The death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Beloved, listen to me. Just because verse 15 says whosoever was not found written in the book of life doesn't mean everyone there, or his name is not written in the book of life. That's a misinterpretation that people have said for years and years and years, because they try to make the book of Revelation a book that is chronological, and it's not. There's four separate trips to the tribulation period, and that's where you get Revelation 11 verse 18, which is on your screen a moment ago. "And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come." Alright, read it with me again. Verse 11, 18. Chapter 11, verse 18. And it says in that the time of the dead that they should be judged. We've already made it clear. What is the time of the dead being judged? Right here, great white throne. Then it says, "And that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and then to fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy those that destroy the earth." So the nations are angry at the end of the millennial kingdom. That's when the time of the great white throne, when it comes. The same time the Lord's wrath has come and the dead are judged, Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15. But it's also the time when those who made it through the tribulation, Matthew 25, and the nations and people in the millennial kingdom will be rewarded according to their works. That's why the other books are open. They go into the city, my friend, this new Jerusalem, this city that is there, they go into the city, those that made it through the tribulation, through the millennial kingdom, to partake into the tree of life, their offspring in eternity. They will go into the city and partake in the tree of life, and they will live forever. Revelation chapter 20, verse 13 says, "And the sea gave up their dead." I'm sorry, look in verse 21, verse 13. I'm sorry, I got it wrong. That's a cross reference to that tree of life. Okay, so anyway, we'll keep moving on. They're judged according to the works, and they will live forever when they partake of this tree of life. I'll give you a place to turn, if you will with me. Turn to Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah chapter 66. Turn to Isaiah chapter 66. Very familiar passage of Scripture. Isaiah chapter 66, now notice this here with me. This is where a lot of this is going to come together. Again, these are the details. It's not as simple as that heaven is just a pie in the sky. It's not as simple as that. Who's going to be where, how they get there, why they get there. Isaiah 66, and look in two verses with me, verse 23 and 24. It says, "For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make," alright, that's as of yet, "shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship me, saith the Lord." The context is the new moon the Sabbath and all flesh, coming to the new Jerusalem to worship the Lord on the new moon and the Sabbath in the new heaven and the new earth. Remember, the Jew in this eternity are still on earth from the millennial kingdom. They have inherited the earth. Amen. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now you begin to see how they inherit the earth at the end of time. It is the new earth. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 10, the Bible says that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one, all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in him. That's the dispensation of the fullness of time. Alright, so again, you gotta understand, the Jew that made the millennial kingdom is going to inherit the earth. They're going to be able to come into the new Jerusalem, partake in the tree of life, to give them eternal life. But they could still yet die before taking that tree of life. Isaiah 65 and verse 17 says, "For behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth. The former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind." Jeremiah 33 verse 21, "Then may also my covenant be broken with David, my servant, that he should not have a son to reign upon his throne, and with the Levites, the priests, and my ministers." Look in Jeremiah 33, verses 7 through 18. You probably can't read that from the screen. It's probably in font 2. But it says, "And I will cause the captivity of Judah and the captivity of Israel to return, and will build them as at the first. And I will cleanse them from all their iniquities, iniquity whereby they have sinned against me. And I will pardon all their iniquities whereby they have sinned, whereby they have transgressed against me. And it shall be to me a name of joy, of praise, and honor before all the nations of the earth, which shall hear all the good that I do unto them. And they shall fear and tremble all the goodness and for all the prosperity that I procure unto it. Thus saith the Lord." And again, "There shall be heard in this place, which ye say shall be desolate, without a man, without beast, even the cities of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem that are desolate, without a man, without an inhabitant, and without beast. The voice of joy, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, the voice of them that shall say, Praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And of all them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord, I will cause them to return, the captivity of the land as at the first, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts again. In this place which is desolate without a man, without a beast, and the cities thereof shall be an habitation of shepherds, causing their flocks to lie down. In the cities of the mountains, in the cities of the vale, the cities of the south, the land of Benjamin, and the places about Jerusalem, and all the cities of Judah shall the flock pass again under the hands of him that telleth them, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will perform the good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days, that time I will cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. For thus saith the Lord, David shall never want a man to sit upon the throne of the house of Israel, neither shall the priest of Levites want a man before me to offer burnt offerings and to kindle meat offerings and to do sacrifice continually." You see, my friend, Ezekiel chapter 46, verse 3, "Likewise the people of the land shall worship at the door of this gate before the Lord, in the Sabbaths and in the new moons." Ezekiel 44, verse 24, "And in the controversy they shall stand in judgment, and they shall judge it according to my judgments, and they shall keep my laws and my statutes and in all my assemblies, and they shall hallow my Sabbaths." Again, lastly, Ezekiel 37, verses 25 through 27. "And they shall dwell in the land that I have given them, given unto Jacob my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt, and they shall dwell therein, even they and their children, their children's children forever. And their servant David shall be their prince forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will place them and multiply them, and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them evermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them, yea, I will be their God, they shall be my people." Guys, the context is in connection with these nations in eternity, the ones who were saved in the tribulation period and in the millennium. If God is going to give that nation, give that earth with its new moons and its Sabbath to the Jew forever, it cannot be a time limit. We say we have everlasting life. We say that we will live forever because we are saved. Well, then you can't take these verses here and you can't you can't remove them because God says my covenant is forever. Why? Because there's a new heaven, there's a new earth, and there's a new Jerusalem. And the three branches of humankind are found there. This is different salvation than of today. Anyone and everyone who has heard the gospel or had a chance to be saved now, listen carefully. Everyone and anyone who has a chance to be saved and born again in this church age prior to the rapture will have absolutely, positively, no chance whatsoever to be saved in the tribulation period. And that's even if they live to make it there. 2 Thessalonians 2:11, for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth but have pleasure in righteousness. Those of you hear my voice right now, those of you who have heard the gospel, you will not have a chance. I don't care what movie you've seen, what book you've read, what comic strip may sound good, you will not have a chance nor opportunity to be saved in the tribulation period. You will believe a lie because you've had pleasure in righteousness. And therefore God will send you strong delusion. What does that mean to you? It means get saved today, amen. It means get saved right here, right now. Look here in verses 25 and 26, back in Revelation 21. 25 and 26, and what you see, the context here is not the millennial, the context is eternity. Look in verse 25 and 26. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there, and they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. This is not the millennial. At this present time, the millennium is over with. This is eternity. So we have to understand that in the details, my friend, the church, the bride of Christ, is living in the city, not coming and going out. They're inside the city when it descends from heaven. The new heaven is where the Gentiles will make it when they enter into thy rest. And the Jew who made it through the millennial kingdom will inherit the earth forever, the new earth, with its new moons and its Sabbaths. So lastly, look with me in the final verse, verse 27. Verse 27 says, and there shall in no wise enter into anything that defileth, neither whatsoever work of abomination or make it a lie, they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Beloved, if you're written in the Lamb's book of life today, you'll be in that city. Nothing unclean will go in that city. All the Christian's name is written in the book of life. Philippians chapter 4, verse 3 says, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with my other fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. The reference here are for those coming out of the tribulation and out of the millennium. Why? Let me say why. I don't understand that. Because those who come in, get something which will give them eternal life. And God is not going to allow anyone that defiles to do so. Revelation 22 and verse 14, the Bible says, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. The bride is already there. The church is already there. The saved, born again individual today is already in the city. But blessed are they who are able to come in. There's nothing that defile that's going to be able to come out of the city. Also, they that have to come in, they have to come in. The Christian, again, I said, is already there. Christ is already, they already have Christ in them. They already have eternal life. And he does not have to come in to get it from the tree of life. 1 John chapter 5, verse 12 says, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. So, beloved, what does that mean for us today? Beloved, what it means today is that, man, heaven is something to look forward to today. And you're within earshot of my voice today, and you're hearing the words that I'm saying. If you want to be in that place and not have to worry about anything, listen, if you want to be in that new Jerusalem, the streets of gold, pure gold, like transparent glass, guys, if you want to be in that city today, you're going to have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. By faith, you're going to have to trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and understand that everyone is a sinner. Your sins are not measured by the other sins of mankind. Your measuring rod today is a perfect, infallible Christ. And he who committed no sin, who knew no sin, and therefore when we stand at being measured by him, we have all failed. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, all of us, when we're standing by the measuring rod of that which is perfect. But that which is perfect came, that which is perfect died on the cross, and that which is perfect nailed our sins to his cross. And beloved, I'm here to say this to you. This final passage that we just read about in verse 27 It's referring to the people on the earth in eternity who will go into New Jerusalem to partake in the tree of life, finally obtaining what was forbidden to Adam in Genesis 3, verses 22 through 24, as a result of disobeying God. But beloved, today you can obtain that place. You can obtain what was denied of Adam because of his disobedience simply by obeying the Lord Jesus Christ. By calling upon him to be born again of the precious blood of Jesus. You see, how simple is it? Bow your heads. Ask the Lord forgiveness of your sins. Invite Jesus Christ into your heart today. Make a pure confession that you acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord and that God has raised him from the dead. Seek to be saved and filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Born again today, if you put your faith and your trust in who and what Jesus Christ is and who and what Jesus Christ has done, you'll be saved. Born again in the precious blood of Christ. You've got to mean it from the heart, I know. The Bible tells me, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So my friend, salvation is simple. I'm not saying easy, it's simple. But I trust today that if you'd like to be in this new Jerusalem, something that, man, we get to look forward to. As beautiful and as wonderful as our world is that God has given us to live in, it is incomparable this evening to what he has laid up in store for us. If you know not Jesus Christ as my Savior, or as your Savior, I want you to be with me. I want you to come along with me and Preston and our family. I want you to come and partake in that water of life freely today.
Right.
That you may have eternal life and heaven, which is something to look forward to. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity and time to be here tonight. Pray, Father, that you bless this message to the hearts and minds of the hearers. Lord, I ask you to please watch over them. Again, I beg of you, Lord, if there be one out there today unknowingly of eternal salvation, I plead with you that, Lord, you may save their soul. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And amen.